Since 1987, March has served as the official Women's History Month. Each year, Americans celebrate the role that women have played in our nation's history, examining the ways in which women have influenced our culture. To commemorate this Women's History Month, leaders from Concord-Carlisle's Intersections Club gathered to discuss contemporary issues of misogyny-affected people in our country. Stay tuned for discussion on intersectional feminism, the lasting impact of gender roles in society, and more.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Cue the Culture with the Intersections Club. Today, in honor of Women's History Month, we're going to be talking a little bit about feminism and topic about women in general. So just to refresh on our names and our voices, my name is Vicky.
My name is Stephanie.
My name is Akshaya.
I'm Dallas.
I'm JJ.
And I'm Joe.
So to start off, we kind of want to talk about how feminism has changed and how we've kind of seen it, like, growing up in our generations, like watching our grandparents talk about it or our parents, and then to us, and just noticing that shift. So I guess in general, just like anything that we've noticed or seen in the mindsets of people.
Well, obviously, as time has gone on, there's been more of a switch to intersectional feminism from like traditional feminism, and intersectional feminism focuses more on the inclusion of women in the LGBTQ plus community, specifically trans women and women of color. And I feel like for me, it's been interesting talking about feminism with the older generations in my family. I'm lucky enough to have my great grandmother with me. And when we talk about the role of women, as time has changed, I can see where the old mindset is for her. Because growing up for her, it was more of women stayed home. They didn't really venture out of the house to do other opportunities. And especially now that I'm applying to college, her attitude towards college, I won't say is negative. It's more of kind of dismissive in some cases, where she's like, why do you want to go so far away from home? She's very focused on me being closer to home because she feels as though that's where my life is kind of supposed to be centralized. And I know it's from a place of love, but at sometimes I'm like, I have the chance in my life to venture outside of the world, and I don't know if she's in tune with that.
Talking more about like families in general, I think I've definitely seen like within three generations a really big shift in everyone's thinking. So I am Chinese, and historically in China, you know, women had to do some weird stuff, but like my grandmother's like siblings and everything, they did foot binding, like the Chinese foot binding, and she was one of the younger siblings, and like her mom tried getting her to do it, but she was like, no, I hate it, so she didn't do it. But like, it was common at the time where women bound their foot and to like look pretty. And the whole idea was actually really just to like, they couldn't really run away. You know, like there's obviously like the whole aesthetic purpose, but there's like a deeper meaning than that. And it's like, oh, the men will find you attractive if you have smaller feet and whatnot. And so that's like that generation. And then like, again, like as I'm also going away for college and everything, I think like my grandparents, although they're like, go pursue what you like, but they're like, don't go too far away. Like stay home, like stay close. The girl should kind of stay close to the family. And like, it's like those side comments that are just like added on, you know, they're like, oh, like go do your thing. Like go pursue, be smart, like do academic stuff, but like just stay close to your family. And it's nice. And like, cause you're the girl of the family. And then I see like my mom who, she kind of like moved her whole life. I mean, obviously like from my dad as well. But like she went with him, came to America. And I think like, I definitely see her going back to work because she wants to. And like, I see her being like, oh, you should always, you know, work hard, make your own money. Even if you get married, you know, always have your own money and like really have that ownership over your stuff. And so like, I definitely see it within my own family. And I think it's interesting how like my mindset has definitely like, I have like a little piece of everything.
Just to add on to Vicky, you made an awesome point. I see the same thing with my own mother. Like she's very much from a young age, she's always been about independence, and she's like very much about the make your own money like standpoint. And going back to like the older generations in my family, specifically with my great grandmother, I don't want to say she doesn't tell me to like get my own job or something like that. She's more of like, oh, like when you get out of college and when you find like the man for you, like you'll be set and you'll be fine and that'll be like your security. In the back of my mind, I'm like, that's not the lifestyle I want for myself. And I've had like, or I've tried to have like open and honest discussions with her, and her like mindset is like, oh, but you'll be fine, like you'll find someone to take care of you. And I was like, no, I'm gonna learn how to like take care of myself and it'll be more for me. And it's just another thing with her, she's like very much like into the idea of like aesthetic beauty to please other people. And so she's like, oh, she's been, as I've gotten older, she's more like, oh, you know, like you should try to do this, you should try to change your hair a little bit, maybe you could just like dress a little differently just so you could be more appealing to other people in the world. And I'm just like, oh, but I feel comfortable the way I look now, why should I try to tailor that for the outside world?
I'm like totally opposite. Like my family has never really been like pushing me to be like, think about the future, think about a family. They're always like, no, you need to go to school first and then you can think about family. Cause they always think that like, oh, if you get like a boyfriend or if like you're ever like interested in someone that like you're totally done for it, they're like, now you're not gonna go to school, now you're not gonna get a job. Like they're scared of that than they are about me not going to school, if that makes any sense. So they would rather me like go to school, go to college, all this stuff, and then think about a family than think about my future as being a family. And I think that just kind of comes from like my mom in a little bit. Like she definitely like came here and had like this idea that coming to America would give her like really great opportunities for college and stuff like that. And then when she got here, she was like, oh, like I have so much work to do to even get there. Like she had to like take up small jobs as like a maid to even like get herself together and like get a house and stuff like that. So she definitely felt like getting married and like falling in love, if that makes any sense, like held her back a little bit. She always tells me like, Stephanie, like don't fall in love, like don't do that, like go to school first. And I think for my grandmother, she also fell in love like at a really young age. She always talks about how like she had all these like boyfriends around her and stuff like that. But my grandma was a teacher, like she also like went to school in the Caribbean, so she got her education first and all that. And she just always talks about how like my grandfather would always be by her side and like following her around. So I think it's just interesting, like it's completely opposite for me, that it's not the end to like have a family and stuff like that. My parents are always like, oh, like go to school first and then the family will just come along one day. So I think that's interesting.
I guess for me, I mean, obviously I can't speak to, you know, the same experiences myself since my family's always been pretty supportive, but also I'm a boy. So it's, you know, I guess generally expected that my family's going to be supportive of me getting an education, but I can sort of speak to it from my mom's perspective. She was an immigrant from first Hong Kong and then from Chile, and her mother, my grandmother, was you know, a stay-at-home mom. Like she really didn't do any, she had no education, probably like third grade education. And they had a family business running a restaurant in Chinatown. And so it was really interesting how my grandmother was, you know, came from almost like nothing in terms of education. She was really, really supportive of my mom and her two sisters going to college and getting a really good education. So I think that was a really large generational shift there. But I also still see, you know, influences of, you know, pretty big misogyny and sexism, where my grandfather, you know, wasn't really willing to give the family business to my mom or either of her sisters. And instead, even though they were the three oldest, he really pushed my uncle to, who was, you know, a good, you know, 3 or 4 years younger, to take on the family business. And so I still see that. And, you know, granted, none of them ended up taking it and they all, you know, kind of went their separate ways. But I still see that as something that's like, you know, my mom could have, you know, ended up running this business or, you know, taking on, you know, the family leadership. And I think that it's my grandmother's, you know, really pushing for her to go to college that has kind of brought, you know, my mom and her sisters to a really good place in society. You know, all of them have really good educations. They've had really good jobs. And I think they're all really, you know, supportive of their daughters and I guess any of their nieces in my mom's case. And so I think that that's something that was really nice that my grandmother did to push for all of them to go get those educations and, you know, work really hard. And she would take on extra shifts at the restaurant just so that my mom and her sisters could, you know, study at school and really work towards that. So that's just something that I always see as being, you know, a kind of defining moment in my family's history.
Just to piggyback on what JJ is saying, I see the same with my own mom. Growing up, it was my mom, my aunt, and my grandmother was always trying to pushing them to focus more on their education and trying to do the best that she could to provide for them so they could get to that level that she never really was able to get to. So my mom went to the college route and got her bachelor's degree and then went on to get her two master's degrees. And that was the standard that she kind of set for the rest of our family. Like when I look at my mom, I see a very successful woman. And that's something that I see the other people in my family try to model after, because my mom kind of broke the mold and went a different route from other people. A lot of the women in my family, they either chose not to go to college or they did go to college and then just stopped there after getting their bachelor's degree. But my mom kept going and kept trying to move up in levels, which was something that a lot of people never really saw before in my family. So it was a way for my mom to become a role model for other people.
Something that I think about a lot is also maybe based on just my own family, but the female lineage is very strong. I don't know. That's just something that I've noticed. It's just I feel men are seen as stability and everything, but it seems from my eyes, it's always been women are striving for so much. They're trying to do it all with family, work, trying to create something for themselves, whether it be, you know, going to college or having a job yourself and standing your ground there. But also I also sometimes think about this. So I also have family in Hong Kong, and if you didn't know, they actually use maids and stuff who come from the Philippines and whatnot. And I always just think about these women because they have their families back at home, and some of them are married and some of them have kids, and yet their husbands are back there doing whatever work they're doing. But the women literally leave their country to go be someone else's nanny or maid for a family where all parents are working as well, and they're literally just focusing on the kids. But I always just think oh my goodness, these people, their jobs, they just totally remove themselves from their own lives, and then years later they go back and they're it's 7-8 years later, then they're okay, I'm gonna go back now and start a family, or now I have enough money, I can go and see my kid again and whatnot. And I think that's just really sad to think about, and how I don't know, the way that women have to establish themselves is just really tough, I feel like. And sometimes they have to take those back routes instead of going straight to just some job in their home country or something like that. Anywho, I guess we can move on to another topic if we want. We can talk about how we view feminism, and this could be in the workplace and in the media and anything in general like that, how we see it.
Sorry, Stephanie. I know for me personally, just the concept of feminism is just creating an equal world of opportunities for everyone in general, and it's just kind of rooted in the way that women have typically been oppressed in history. So that's just my own take on what feminism is. And I know that in my life, I want feminism to be as inclusive as possible. I want everyone to feel as though feminism is working to better their lives, no matter their identity or their background. And I feel like there's a divide between intersectional feminism, which is something that I actively follow, and then feminism that's rooted in the past, which has a lot of its own issues. And I've had this conversation with my mom on many occasions, because she has struggled in the past separating what she calls white feminism, which is feminism geared more towards specifically cisgender straight white women, and then feminism that's more inclusive that I've been more involved with. So I think that's something that people have to deal with, the two different sides of it.
Yeah, to like jump off that point, because we are the Intersections Club, I think we're always thinking about the ways our culture and the ways other people's culture intersect with their identity or their gender identity. So my idea of like feminism, I've definitely been moving more towards intersectional feminism, like you talked about, Dallas, because I feel like when you put the word intersectional in front of it, you're applying the idea that not everyone's feminism is going to look different, of course, but that the idea that like when you apply intersectional feminism, you're also taking account the other like social ideas or constraints that are being applied to women broadly. So I think a lot about Black women and how they're viewed, especially in the media and around the world, and how I think a lot of the time feminism has definitely been geared toward white women, as you talked about, Dallas, and that the problems or the issues that our white women are facing are often put at the forefront of feminism. Things that, you know, you can complain about and stuff like that, and things that could maybe be changed, but that at the root of feminism, that there are women who are struggling way more than the people who are on top. So I think like breaking down those hierarchies and applying the word intersectional in front of it, I think can get more at the root of what is the problem of feminism, if that makes any sense, and how we can, you know, change things for the better for everyone, not just applying those to the people who are at this top tier.
Just to piggyback off of another point from Stephanie, I've always had this conversation with my mom because she does have a hard time separating historical feminism, which is more white, white feminism, from new or like modern or more nuanced feminism. And like her main point is that the issues that impact her as a Black woman are far different from the issues that impact white people who typically have like controlled the narrative around feminism. So she growing up never felt included or never really felt seen by traditional feminism, I guess. And it's more like it's a learning process for the both of us, because at first, I didn't understand what she was saying. I felt more offended because I thought she didn't believe in feminism. But the more we talked about it, the more I understood that she never felt included when it came to feminism when she was a kid. So it's more of like her relearning the definition, or like times changing and her understanding that now people are pushing for feminism to be more expansive and including more groups of people and the narrative being changed.
I think that totally, like, I definitely relate to that as well. I've always felt like America has been more progressive with, like, feminism and, like, all these types of issues compared to, like, where my family is from and everything. So I felt like, although, you know, I can pursue all these things in America and all of this, but I still have this, like, expectation in the back of my head that, like, either older generations have for me or anything like that. It's really hard to let go when it's, like, your family and like they're like, that's just how it's done, like you'll be happy like that and whatnot. And the whole idea of like, you know, men being like a security blanket, I guess, is the whole thing that I'm also trying to escape, because I think like a lot of the times, like obviously I can't speak from a guy's perspective, but it's like you kind of establish yourself and then you like take care of like your family and whatever. But I think like from a girl's perspective and like from my own culture, it's more of like, okay, like yes, you can be like a modern woman and like go work and succeed and whatnot, but like you'll be fine because there'll always be some kind of guy to help you out if you ever like fall into trouble. And so I really like don't want that for myself. I feel like I definitely want to like find how to change that mindset and like really want to just establish myself for that own purpose and not have that lurking feeling in the back of my mind.
Well, I think personally, with my views of feminism, being a part of like the LGBTQ community, it's really important to advocate for, you know, a trans women, because I feel like it is very, very normalized to so quickly not respect, you know, who they are and who they want to be addressed as. You know, I see all the time people misgendering on purpose, be funny, dead naming, which is like, you call them their birth name, so the name they have chosen for themselves. And it is just like, it's really hard to see, because also crime against trans women is like insane. There was recently a video this summer going around about three trans women who were viciously attacked. And like, it was really hard to watch. And, you know, there were a bunch of guys, they were all laughing, attacking them. The video comes out and like nothing happens because everyone's like, oh, those are men, they can fight for themselves. And it was so normalized and everyone took it as a joke. It was really hard to see because it's like, those are people that like are part of my community and you want to help and you want to, you know, make sure this doesn't happen again. But then you have to fight against so many people who don't understand it, don't want to understand it, and would rather hate against it instead of even learning about it. And that kind of goes into my second point about feminism, because feminism for me, I mean, seeing how far sexism stretches, to me, it's crazy, because it even stretches to people who are like of a feminine nature. Like, you could be a guy, and if you're feminine, like, you will get ridiculed, laughed at, all this stuff. So being a woman in itself, like, yeah, there's so much discrimination just being a woman, just having feminine, you know, features and stuff like that. So it really does impact, because, you know, sometimes I like to be effeminate, you know, sometimes I don't like to act like a macho man, because I'm not that, like, I'm very the opposite of that, and sometimes it's scary, because I'm like, oh yeah, I can't be out here saying, hey sis, da da da, because, like, that could turn into, like, oh, I'm on, like, Channel 5 News, like, in the hospital, because I just felt, like, brutally beaten or something like that. I don't know, because, like, it really extends to that nature, because people are really against and want to hate against, you know, just feminine people and femininity in itself. So seeing how far it switches, I like the term intersectional feminism as well, because it really just stretches out to everything and is trying to change the momentum from being, as you guys said, like, white feminism in the past to something that can stretch to many more people and help many more people.
Joe, you brought up, like, a really, really important point. In my own experience as a cisgender woman, I don't share a lot of the same life experiences that trans women do, but it's very heartbreaking having conversations with people that you believe. My mindset is that people who identify as feminists, they fall under intersectional feminism. That's the way that my brain works, or that's the way I wish it worked. But then having conversations about being inclusive towards LGBTQ plus communities and trans women, and talking about how feminism should, like, help and support all women, for anyone who identifies as a woman. And it's really heartbreaking having conversations and then finding out that some people who label themselves as feminists don't feel the same way or decide to exclude trans women because of, like, other prejudice, because it hurts, because you put people who say that they're feminists under the blanket of being intersectional feminists. At least I do. And you feel as though you're fighting the same fight. And then you find out that they're like, oh, I'm a feminist, but only for people like me in these cases. And it's just like, well, then you're not a feminist. Like, don't use that label, and don't, like, put yourself under that label if it comes with certain clauses that you use to justify why other people don't deserve the support of the feminist community.
I think that's really important. You know, this idea that when you're, you know, sort of fighting a fight, that not everybody who's fighting that fight is really going for the same end goal. And I think that that's something that's really difficult to work around, especially in these situations, because it's like, you know, you want to think that everybody's working together on this and that everybody who's a feminist wants the same thing in the end, but that some of those people really don't have, you know, the same end goal or end beliefs. And it's something I feel like is really an issue. And it's not something easy that I feel like there's an answer to, but I think it's something that we can all work on, trying to find more common ground to say, okay, let's at least get this done together. And then, you know, people can focus on their own, you know, personal interests and personal ideals and beliefs before, you know, or it's after, you know, once some meaningful change has been done. So I think that was a really good point that Dallas made, that, you know, it's hard to, you know, see everybody as fighting that same fight when you realize that some people don't actually support the same things as you.
Something else I was just thinking about was that, like, I guess thinking about, like, where we live and everything, and in general, activism in general, like, people, they, well, kind of seem like they like believe in one thing, but there's a lot of stuff that they keep within themselves. And it's like the little comments that they make. And it's like when they say it's just a joke and stuff like that is when the true like issues kind of come to the surface. And I think time and time again, like I've talked with friends, and something that just irks people in general is just say you're like ranting about something. Some guy comes to you and says, are you on your period? And that's just the worst thing ever, like someone could say. And I'm like, why would you say that? Like, what do you gain from this? Like, and I think when like that kind of thing, you know, comes to the surface, then you just start unpacking the whole like women are emotional, women are irrational, like all of those kinds of thoughts. And I think something that I don't know if like guys really understand is like, say a girl is like going off and annoyed about something, and what if she happens to be on her period? Maybe all of her annoyances are true feelings, but it that like period of time just like really brings it out finally, like all the things that are being suppressed. But it's like nothing more than that. And I think when they make this whole joke about it, it's just like, it's quite annoying, and it just shows like how much they might not like understand or try to understand and all of that. Like the whole like characteristics of like women in general and how people talk about it just really get me sometimes.
Dallas, I'm about to jump in. I just wanted to go off of Vicky's point about like just talking about women in school in general, because I remember this one time in literally eighth grade where we were working on like this science project, and you know, sometimes, yeah, I can, you know, I can own up to this. I'm a little, I don't know, overbearing. You know, I like to get things done. I can be a little bossy and things like that. And like everyone's a little bossy at sometimes, but the fact that I was a girl being bossy to the other group members, this one kid in my group thought it was okay to call me the B word because I was, you know, taking a little bit more control of the project and like trying to get everyone set up. And I just feel like that was in eighth grade. And I still feel like that just goes to show like how women are just viewed in the workplace, specifically in like STEM related fields. Like you can be like, I feel like it's accepted that, yo, you can be a woman in math, you can be a woman like wanting to pursue science, you can be a woman and like be successful and things like that. But I feel like people don't realize like in order to be successful, you have to literally take so much stuff. Like take so much stuff from everyone talking about you, take so much stuff from people like talking about how you're too determined or like you're too bossy or you're too controlling, when that's exactly what men do in that field. Like in order to get to places in STEM fields, you have to be able to put yourself out there. You have to be able to take control of situations. You have to be able to take on your own projects. And then when women do exactly that, that is required for these jobs, men or just people in general just judge them and like call them names and belittle them for doing exactly what's needed for these types of jobs, being controlling. And, you know, I just felt like that one moment in eighth grade, like literally set me off for like all these years, because every time I'm in a project or like a lab group and, you know, the person who I'm working with is like not keeping up their slack or is not actually working on the project, like I'm so fearful to say something and be like, hey, can you do this one thing? Or like, do you need help? Like, I'm so fearful that they're just going to snap back at me and like call me a name, or that they're going to say something about me because like, I'm really passionate about science, or that I'm really passionate about getting the project done. So I'm like so fearful that people are going to like judge me, even though like they shouldn't, if that makes any sense. And I feel like there's just such a double standard for women in those fields. Like they always say like women, oh, you can go into STEM, like you can be successful, but you can't have the personality or the ambitions to be successful, or else you're going to be called names.
I want to go off on Stephanie's point, but I want to go back to Vicky's point. The comments on like specifically periods are just very invalidating to like my emotions. Like I've had like guy friends make like jokes like that, and I just feel, it feels really bad because it's like, no, this is how I truly feel, and you using like something about my biology to like manipulate that or just undermine it is just very discouraging for me to like when I want to express my emotions. And it's always like emotions other than happiness. Like if you show an emotion that's not happiness, or if you show that you're sad, or if you show that you're like frustrated or angry, it's always going to, it's like people feel like it's easy just to attribute that to being on your period. It's just like, oh, so are women just supposed to be like happy 24/7? And are they not allowed to have that emotional range just for like their own personal reasons? But like, Stephanie, like your point about like women in STEM is like completely 100% like true. I know for me personally, like the STEM field, I've always been extremely intimidated by, because like you hear stories about like women in that field going through so much or being like mistreated or like being like walked over or being overlooked because of being a woman. So when it comes to like science classes or math classes, I've always had a different type of anxiety around those, because it's like the narrative around women in STEM is that it's never going to be easy and you're going to deal with so much hardship that walking into that situation just makes, is an automatic like turn off. Like the concept of being a woman in STEM, I am afraid of stuff like that because I'm afraid of the narrative that surrounds it.
And I think like, obviously it's like in school too, like I just, like I'm not like very like controlling or like, I don't know, like I don't really, I'm not really like super insistent of like my opinion, but like I've definitely found that like in group projects or like in settings where it'll be like, oh, like girls and like guys like working together, like I found that like girls have had to like insist more like when they share an idea or something, and guys will kind of like put it off or kind of like go on their own with their own ideas and kind of like not validate that, like, oh, like wait, like that's actually like what we should be doing, if that makes sense. So I definitely found it hard to like share my opinion and like feel heard in group settings. And I also wanted to mention, like, even going beyond like school and like in the workplace, I think like my mom is like a chemical engineer and like she like studied in Sri Lanka. So I think it goes, like obviously the education is different, but she's definitely mentioned that like in her workplace, like being like a woman of color, like she's had to like just like never really felt like seen by her coworkers, because it's like it'll be like white guys talking like within themselves, and like the language is also like kind of difficult. Like it's not like she was like a native English speaker, so like I think it's interesting to hear how like it's been hard for her to kind of find her place and like feel that like what she's saying is like seen and like heard, even as like she's had to like adjust to work in America as well. So
To go off of Akai's point, like I feel like in group settings, I'm a very naturally talkative person. I like engaging with other people. But when it comes to meaningful contributions in like working towards something, I get a very nervous about it. I get a little uncomfortable when it comes to having to be assertive to get like my ideas across. It's easy for me to like engage in conversation and like just being in like friendly conversation. But when it comes to having to step up and like contribute my own ideas, I get anxious because it's like the having to repeat myself multiple times to get my point across. Like I'll say my point one time, and often it's easy. I see that I can be ignored really easily, but then it's like having to repeat myself and going back, like going in again and again just to be heard. It's really discouraging, and it makes it very easy for me to think about just stopping, like not talking anymore, and just like shrinking back away from the conversation.
I feel like that just like goes to the point of like burnout, and especially I think in women in STEM, because all this time you're consistently trying to prove yourself and to prove yourself worthy of the intention, try to prove yourself worthy of being in certain classes. And I think I've heard that like as you move up from like different degrees, like there's less and less women and even less and less people of color who are in STEM fields or pursuing higher degrees. And I think like just the point of what you're saying, Dallas, like people just get tired of like trying to prove themselves or prove themselves worthy of what they're trying to achieve. And I think that's why it's so important to have mentorship and find people who are in the places that you want to go, and like ask them like how they got there, with the realization that your path might be a little bit different. But I feel like it's so helpful to have people who are like where you want to be or where you're trying to go, like kind of telling you about the path and telling you what struggles they went to, both so that you're prepared and both so that, you know, when you get there, you could try to make something different. Because I feel like someone could tell you that, oh, I had this mentor who was like this really bad person. Like I had this professor who did this, this, and this, and I never talked about it or I never did anything about it. And like, of course, that's their choice to, you know, keep that within themselves and not really share. But when you get to that place and you're like, I think this is not okay. Like, I think this is going down a wrong path. And I feel like that kind of empowers you a little bit more to be like, no, I'm going to talk about this and I'm going to change this or I'm going to go find help. And I just feel like that just kind of goes into like women supporting women in a way. And I'm like such a strong advocate for that. Like I'm such a strong advocate for people putting each other next to each other, if that makes any sense, like walking people down the path with you, not just like leaving people behind. Cause I think often we see like this narrative that like, if I can make it, everyone can make it. And that's just not true. I think it's like through walking with people and taking people down the path that you're on is really going to help people find their way and like help them achieve their goals.
I'm sucking. You brought up women supporting women. And I feel like there's such, like, I am a strong advocate for that too. Like, I believe that's something that we all need to engage in. But there's also this narrative that puts women, like, that pits women against each other and they make it a competition. Like, in movies or TV shows, if you see two women in a male-dominated field, they're almost never friends or they almost never engage with each other in a positive manner. It's always that they have to be competing against each other, either for promotion or standing or for some odd reason, the affection of like a random dude who's on the show too. And it's like, it's very like disheartening to see because if you are in a male dominated field, for me specifically, like I want to pursue sports journalism, which is a very male dominated field. And like going into that field, and if I saw other women there, I would want to be in an environment where we could like connect with one another and we could use each other as a support system because we share that common experience. But seeing portrayals in the media that says if you see another woman in a space that you're in that's typically male dominated, you can't be friends with them. Like you have to work against them if you want to succeed in what you want for yourself. That's a really toxic mindset to have, because if every time you see a woman in your field and you think of them as a threat or as competition, you're just self-isolating even more, if that makes sense.
I think as we kind of wind down here, I just wanted to ask a question of all the girls here to sort of just, you know, gather some opinions as we move forward and think about what we can do personally to change. And so the question I have is, what do women think that men and boys should be doing more to help the feminist cause? You know, what kind of actions can men take on their own, and what kind of action can they take in other groups to help support women, help make women feel more included?
I can start. I think just how like women empowerment, as we've seen, is kind of passed down through generations from mothers to daughters, and how women are like empowering their daughters to get an education. I think that men and fathers need to pass down to their sons or instill the idea that, you know, women can be successful, women can be empowered, and that you can empower women yourselves. So I think that it's not just going to be one person in one family going out and be like, I'm going to be a feminist. I think feminism has to be passed down through the patriarchy as well. And I think that that only starts with yourself and starts with your own life and kind of, you know, finding yourselves in groups where men or the boys that you're around or even the girls that you're around are like, have the same mindset of you, that women should be empowered and that women have a place in society, women have places in any career that they want to be in. So I think it's definitely in my mindset, like change can come through like the passing along of ideas.
I completely agree with Stephanie. And another thing is just like being more engaged in conversations around feminism. And obviously that could be a very scary thought for anyone engaging in a conversation that they don't feel 100% prepared for. But just being a presence there and like listening or trying to learn is really encouraging. And it's really a powerful thing. Another thing is just like, if you see behavior that you know is just like misogynistic or is just not very supportive at all, and just being like sick, feeling like you can call it out or identify it, or just like engaging and trying to disrupt that like conversation, it's also just a really powerful step into moving towards being more involved in the feminist movement.
And I think, like already talked about, it's a lot of emphasis on like conversation, because I think guys don't really realize that like girls really suppress a lot of these feelings and things because of how generational, traditional, everything has kind of built up to this moment, and like things are changing, but like slowly, and it's hard to like differentiate. But I think, you know, like conversations like this, where on a daily basis, you obviously don't really dive into it, but maybe, you know, in spirit of this month, you like go reach out to someone and you ask them about like an instance that they faced, or you like ask questions about like when maybe they feel like they've been put down because of their gender and what they identify as in that sense. And I think that that just goes to show that you're thinking about it and like you care, because I think a lot of girls sometimes think, or women, they turn just to like their friends and they just complain and they just vent, and they really feel like they can't really take it to the men because they feel like they don't understand, like they're not going to want to care because they're obviously not women and everything. But I think like when you establish that like you're a safe person to like talk to, and you obviously like won't put them down and everything, it's a matter of like creating safe space conversation and gaining that deeper understanding to show that you care and that it's something that you want to also be part of to change.
Yeah. And I guess just like looking at your own like kind of perception of like how you see women, and you know, what you kind of like on a deeper level, like what you think their role is in society, or like even just like in general conversation. I feel like even for me, like as a girl, like I have like internalized misogyny, and like I definitely find myself like not like slipping up, but like just like as an automatic reaction, I might like take like an opposite stance. Like if I see like a super like strong, powerful woman, like I might like automatically like find myself like criticizing her more, which is definitely something that like I need to work on. And I think, you know, taking that step to look at your own thoughts and like will definitely like help, because like that affects like our everyday actions. So yeah.
Okay, I guess with that we can come to a close and wrap things up here. Thank you anyone out there who is listening to us today and got to this point. If you want to follow us on Instagram, we are at CCHS Intersections, and yeah, we hope to be back next time with some more interesting conversations. Thank you.